Indiana University just spent $2 million on it, and you've walked past it more times than you can count. But how much do you really know about the Jordan River? WFIU's Mitch Ligon has more.
Laurel Bender has been walking along the Jordan River for close to 30 years. She moved to Bloomington in a house on North Park Avenue in August of 1990 with her son Joe and husband Alan. Like any new residents, the Benders began exploring their new city. They looked about two blocks south and found a small creek running through the Indiana University campus.
Our son was only a year and a half at that point, and we spent a lot of time walking along the river and enjoying the wildlife in it and just the beautiful scenery.
Now, Joe is 30 and lives on his own. But Laurel still spends time walking along IU's meandering landmark, which has often led her to wonder, what's the history of this little river? In her search for information, Bender reached out to our City Limits series.
I guess the main thing I was curious about is why our little river is routed underneath the city, starting at the edge, the eastern edge of the campus at Sample Gates.
Well, if you're doing any research on the Jordan River, it's important to know that it hasn't always been called the Jordan. In fact, it wasn't formally named that until 1994. Originally, back in the 1800s, it was called Spanker's Branch, but it's unclear why. Some accounts say it was named after someone, while others say it's because mothers would spank their children for playing in the stream. According to IU historian Jim Capshue, Spanker's Branch unofficially became the Jordan in the late 19th century, when former IU president David Starr Jordan left the university.
He left IU to become the first president of Stanford University, and the trustees wanted to honor him, and they named the Spanker's Branch after him.
Legend has it that they originally offered to name a building after Jordan, but he joked that the small stream on campus would be much more fitting.
So that was sort of an informal kind of thing, and eventually people started calling it the Jordan River rather than Spanker's Branch, probably by the 1920s.
At the same time, Bloomington began seeing tremendous population growth. Records show that this was when the city began enclosing parts of the Jordan, presumably to help create more room for a rapidly expanding city. The portion on IU's campus was left untouched, though, for all to enjoy. And for a long time, it was best to look and not touch. Since the Jordan is such a small, slow-flowing stream, some bacteria and other microorganisms have thrived. Excessively high levels of coliform were reported in the Jordan in 1969.
Yeah, I know back during the first Earth Day in 1970, there was these tours to sort of show the Jordan River as this polluted stream.
There's also another reason it's wise to stay out of the water. Back in 1993, an IU student was horsing around in the river after a heavy rain and actually got sucked into a storm drain that traveled under city streets. He reemerged 3/4 of a mile away on the southwest side of town.
When we looked at the walls and things like that, there's all kinds of steel bars and rebar and other kinds of obstructions. And this guy was really lucky that he did not get hung up.
When the river reemerges at the corner of Walnut and First, it becomes Clear Creek and passes through the developing Switchyard Park. Laurel Bender also wanted to know what the plans for the river were when it gets to the new city park.
I've been down there and I see that they're doing a lot of digging and putting in new pipes and things, and I wonder if there's going to be a rerouting.
Dave Williams, who is overseeing the development of the park, says the stream at that point will be opened up and become more of a focal point than an underground afterthought.
And it's interesting, hundreds of years later, or 100 years later, a lot of communities are realizing the environmental benefits and just the public quality of life benefits of bringing that water to the surface.
Williams added that if things go according to plan, part of the park will be open to the public this November. As for the portion on campus, the university just spent about $2 million to rehab the river's banks. For WFIU News, I'm Mitch Ligon.